So the way this is going to work today, it's going to be like a Sunday school class, and so you're going to have to, I'm going to ask you questions, which means I want you to respond, okay? Who said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself? Do you remember who said that? Yeah, FDR said that. And so fear is a real strong emotion, and people are fearful. People are fearful today. What? Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4 while we're getting ready. So what are some things that cause people to fear today? Kim? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The election. That is the truth. What else? Exactly, the unknown. And that is true in any time, really. We are fearful of the unknown because we don't know what's going to happen. Or what's not going to happen? What are any other fears that you think that people, Dr. Scovel? Yes, we fear pain. And I fear it when it's there and I fear it coming. So I'm not really a good pain person. And Martha will tell you that. But anyway, what else? Fear. Consequences. Yeah, consequences. We don't know what they're going to be, so we're fearful. Of course, we always imagine the worst, you know, and we think the worst. And the thing about fear, though, it is an emotion that can just paralyze you. It really can, and it can consume you and take your focus off, really, off the Lord and everything else. So in Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at, start verse 35, we're going to be looking at this, and the disciples had an issue with fear, and the Lord addresses that. And so I think we'll see this. We say we trust the Lord, and, you know, in all times, you know, we quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and then, you know, we say we trust, and then the trust test comes along. You know, something happens, and we have an opportunity to trust, and sometimes we don't do it. We fail that test. And so let's look at this. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, will you bless your word? Thank you for the truths contained in it. I pray the Holy Spirit will take it and not only illumine and bring it to understanding, but also application in each of our hearts. We're thankful for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So back to verse 35, Jesus summons them. And he asked him to do something. It's been a busy day for Jesus. He had been preaching. He probably was exhausted from teaching. He'd been teaching from that boat. And then he gives a command. And I think there are a couple of things to notice. If you look again at verse 35, he said, let us, not let you, or let us. He includes himself there. And so you know what? He's going to be with them. There's the presence. And we know that. But we don't always show that. What we know and show are not the same. We know that he said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. We know that. But we don't live that way. We think, where is the Lord in all this? Where is this? We become like Job. Haven't heard from you. And so here's something that we need to live in the reality of, that the Lord is present. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, he indwelt you in the person of his Spirit. He will never, by the way, never means never, okay? He will never leave you, forsake you. He is always with you. at all times, in all places. And we know that, but that truth needs to really resonate in our heart and our life and in our living and in our circumstances. And so he's always present with the believer. He said, let us pass over. And there's a promise. There's a promise. They would be getting to the other side. Most of the time, the Lord takes us through. Every now and then, he takes us out. But most of the time, he takes us through. And most of, we would like to be out. We're like the guy on Star Trek, beam me up, you know, get me out of here. But the Lord takes us through. He really does. I think of the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. There it is. There's his presence. And he takes us through. And by the way, the journeys he takes us on are not haphazard or not happenstance. There's a reason. There's a purpose for the journey that we're taking, the place that he points us to. It's a wonderful truth. God leads, and he, that means he's present. God doesn't send. He leads and goes with. Okay, he doesn't say, all right, guys, get in the boat and go over. Oh, no, no, no. He said, let us. And, yeah, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but the Lord's with us in the ordering. What a wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful truth that is. And we've all been in situations, you know, maybe we were in the hospital or maybe something happened, and, you know, it was a joy to know that the Lord was there. He's present. He's present. So he summons them. Now, the disciples, I guess at that point, they could have said, you know what, we got other things to do. Now, this would take a real act of faith on my part because they're going to get in the boat, and I'll talk about the Sea of Galilee in a minute. That's some deep water. I had this thing about deep water. I don't like it. And so I remember I was going to France one time, and it dawned on me that we're flying across the Atlantic Ocean. I thought, oh, no, that's a lot of water, and it's some deep water. And I was talking to somebody about that, and the stewardess must have heard me, and she said, don't worry, because I said, well, I'm just concerned because if the plane goes down, I'm going to drown in the sea. She said, no, you won't. I said, what do you mean? You'll die on impact. I said, oh, man. I feel better already. I said, I feel better. She said, what? I said, it's not the dying. I just had this tear. I don't know what drowning would be like because I've never done it. But in my mind, this is a terrible, terrible thing. I thought, I don't want to drown. She said, you won't drown. You'll die on impact. I said, oh, thank you so much. I feel so much better. She looked at me a little weird, but I was serious. So they probably didn't have that problem because, you know, that was part of their life. But they left with Jesus. They didn't say, why? They didn't say, so what are we going out there for now? Again, I missed that part. They didn't do that. There's a wonderful picture of intimacy and submission. The Lord is constantly taking us places. Constantly taking us places from where we are to where he wants us to be. And so we need to be sensitive to that and willing to go. And not have to know all the answers because we're not ready for those. We sing, where he leads me, I will follow. We sing that, but sometimes we struggle with that. Wow, I don't know if I want to go there. Well, remember, he's going to be there. He's not sending, he's going with. And it's important that we're willing to submit and to his summons. And so he knows where we're going and why. And there's purpose and plan in his doing. We say, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. And we sometimes don't. Sometimes he wants us to go somewhere, and we don't want to go there. We like things to just stay like they are, and you know, the status, but we like our comfort zone. I remember Pastor Stevens used to preach about this a lot when I was in his ministry. God's always taking us from our comfort zone, and he does. We like to stay in the comfort zone. But the Lord is going to show them some things of themselves, probably some things of themselves and of him as well. And that's what happens. He moves us from where we are to where he wants us to be. He does. And so there's the summons. He gives it, and they take off. Well, there's going to be a storm coming up here. We see in verse 37, there rose a great storm of wind. So the Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It's small as far as bodies of waters goes. It's 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. But here's a one that would concern me. It's 150 feet deep. Oh, that's too deep for me. I can't touch a bottom for sure. 150 feet deep. And the shore is 680 feet below sea level. So because of that, it's because of it being below sea level like that, surrounded by mountains, it's susceptible to sudden storms. And they knew that because they lived around. They had to know that. That storms could just come up out of nowhere all of a sudden. And these storms would be pretty horrific. And the waves could be like 20 feet high. So if you're in the ship and you've got 20 feet high waves coming over you, that could be deadly. That could be fatal. If the boat capsized, that's pretty much sure death. So they had to know that about the Sea of Galilee. And so the waves here are coming, they're beating in the boat, and it's beginning to fill with water. And they are shocked. They are shocked, you know, and they are really surprised at what's going on there. They probably shouldn't have been. But they were. And this is something of the obvious. Who's not surprised about the storm that's in the boat? Who's not surprised? You tell me. The Lord's not surprised. He's not surprised at all. I remember one time, I think I've used this before, I was in the emergency room, and I was in a big hurt. And I said, Lord, you knew this was going to happen, didn't you? Well, of course he did. I wasn't asking him for an answer. I was probably reassuring myself. He knew that was going to happen. And he knew the storm was coming. Now, they probably should have not been shocked because it happened on the Sea of Galilee, but they were. But the Lord is not taken by surprise if something happens in my life. Absolutely not. He's omniscient. And the Lord allows and the Lord sends. And you know what? That truth helps me. When I got hold of that, that really gave me perspective. Everything that comes across my path, the Lord either sends or he allows. You see that in the book of Job very clearly. And so the Lord is not surprised at all. He knew it would happen. And many times, and I can use the word many, circle it, underscore it, whatever, many times storms are part of God's plan for us. We don't want the storm and say, you know, could I get a buy on that course? Could I test out of that course? No. Many times storms are part of God's plan for us. Can you think of any biblical characters that passed through a storm? There was a storm in their life. Maybe it was a point of a real testing, or something they had to go through by God's grace. Can you think of anybody? Somebody said something. Who? Paul? How so? Shipwreck? Imprisoned? Beaten? Stone thrown outside? Lystra left for dead? Dr. Scola, I saw you. Oh, yeah, how so? Yeah, starting with the way his brothers treat him, selling him into slavery, you know, then the thing with Potiphar's wife, and on it goes. Pastor Stevens? Yes. And then later on, his own son, remember Absalom, turned against him. I mean, storms. Was it because God didn't love? But those were people that God used in a mighty way. I can't remember who said it, but I read it somewhere. It says, every great believer, or great Christian, or man of God, or woman of God had some defining event in their life, some harsh or some trial or some whatever word you want to use, and that really shaped them, and they were not the same after that. So, I get, yes, Pastor. Wow, that's good. And And we, when we think of hurt, we look at that in a negative way. But God hurts to help. God breaks to build. And in those storms, as the disciples will see, you'll see something of yourself, which isn't always a good thing, but you'll see something of the Lord that you've never seen before. Storms are part of God's plan for us. It really is. It's part of God's plan for us. And the sooner I think I realize that, the better. We're surprised when the storm comes. Here's what we think. We think if everything's right between us and the Lord, everything will be all right. Hold your place here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 12, 1 Peter 4, 12. I'm a slow turner. I would never win a Bible drill. 1 Peter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I know in the context he may be talking about persecution from the government or from the culture because of their faith in Christ, and that's part of it. But there's you're a target because of your walk with. For instance, Job is a good example. He was a target of the enemy. Why? Because of his walk with God, and the Lord lifted him up, and Satan said, well, I'll show you, and I'll move against him. And so he did that. He went through that storm. And so that's part of it. And so I guess the point I want to make here is we really shouldn't be surprised. It's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. Now, it doesn't mean you look for one or you wish yourself on one, but it's part of the journey. What do we say when something happens to us, something comes our way, a trial? What is the first things that we say? What are the questions we ask?
Why me?
Why me? We say, why me? Why this? Why me? And, you know, I guess the answer to that is, why not you? The Lord didn't even spare his own son from suffering. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And again, the Lord doesn't allow us to go through these things to hurt us. He really doesn't. Because he's with you. He enables you. He does that to help us and to build us up. And so we need to really correct this misconception that we think if problems come or trials, wow, there must be something wrong. I must not be right with God. No, just the opposite is probably true. Just the opposite. Go back to Job again. Job didn't go through all those trials because Job was not right with God. Not at all. And so that's the conclusion we draw sometimes. But remember, Jesus will be in the storm with you. So don't be surprised when they come. And don't be disillusioned. So there's the summons by Jesus, and then there's a storm that comes up. There's security there, though they didn't see this at first. There in verse 38, the Lord is there asleep in the hinder part, and they call him and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? See, again, Jesus is not worried. He's not worried. He's asleep. He said, well, he didn't know the storm was going on. Are you kidding me? And he's not worried at all. And we shouldn't worry. God doesn't worry. We do. The disciples, they wake him up with their request. Now, they're not just asking for help. Really, they're being critical of him. They're basically saying, don't you care about us? Why are you letting them? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why aren't you up here trying to do something for us? They're really questioning God's care for them. And you know what? Our flesh wants us to do that and say, you know what? I thought you loved me. Why did you let me go through this? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did I get this diagnosis from the doctor? Why did my business do this? And why I thought you loved me. Why are you doing this to me? And we we're like the disciples, and I think we question his care for us. I've only done that one time in my life, and as soon as I did that, I knew I'd grieved the Lord. I really did. And so I knew I'd hurt him. But he does love you. He does love you. And even though we go through the storms that he allows, it doesn't mean he doesn't love us. And so they knew he was present. I mean, they could see him. I mean, it's not like he wasn't there. And remember, this is a son of God, and I know they haven't connected all the dots yet, but they had seen so much of him do, and here he is. It's not like, where's Jesus at? We're out here all alone. They saw him. By same token, when I am in the storm, Jesus is there. You can see him. You say, well, no, I can't. Yes, you can. You can see him in the eyes of faith. Really, the longer I live, the more reality is really in the realm of the spiritual. It really is. The material comes and goes. But he's there. He's just as much there as he was with those disciples. You just need to see him. You just need to see him. And so he was present. So how do you respond to the stresses and storms in your life? Do you doubt? Do you doubt his love? See, if my understanding or my view of God's love is based on what's happening to me, I have a very, very shallow view of that. If my view of God's dependent upon circumstances, then I really don't love him. I just love what he does. See, he's the same during every situation of my life. And a lot of times we let what happens to us color our view of God. And we've all known people, maybe friends, where they say, you know what? God let me down. I'm not coming back to church because he took this loved one from me, or he had my mom get cancer, or he did this. And so their view of God is totally changed because of something that happened. Well, I read in the book of Hebrews, is he's touched with the feeling by infirmities. He hurts with you. He intercedes for you. And so this storm is part of it. So do we doubt him? Do we become critical? Why would you let this happen to me? Why is this happening to me? What's going on here? And we really are critical of the Lord. And so storms reveal a lot about us. They really do, as they did the disciples. They reveal about where I am in my walk and my love for the Savior and how deep that goes. Do I just see Satan thought about Job. Oh, yeah, he loves you just because you all that stuff you do for him. You give him everything. No wonder he loves you. If you take that stuff from him, he'll turn on you. And the Lord knew better than that. And Job didn't. And so we don't love him just because of what he gives us or what he doesn't. So there's a summons there, and then there's their submission, then there's a storm. And God is sovereign. We're reminded that in verse 39. Wow, this was amazing. Can you imagine being one of the disciples and this storm is going on, and the waves are coming in, and they're in the panic mode. And Jesus, you know, when they're crying out him in desperation, at this point he didn't say anything. He will in a minute. But he got up and he just said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And you know what happened? It did. He did. He rebuked the wind, and what he's saying, be calm and remain calm. And so he is sovereign. He is all-powerful. I know we know that, and we believe that is doctrinally correct, but I don't know if I always live that. In fact, we think, oh, man, I don't know what's going on. Everything's out of control. Is it? Now, you may be out of control, but things aren't. God is sovereign. See, everybody, and we are concerned about the election, but you know what? God is sovereign. And God is able to do what he needs to do to accomplish. The big picture is the will of God and the glory of God be accomplished. Sometimes God allows things that we may not want because he has a reason for that. He really does. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow. but he's sovereign. So he's able to take a storm sometimes and make it a calm, bring calm to it. And so he has the power to do that. That was impossible, okay? No man could do that. That was an impossibility. And God is sovereign, and he can do. And see, these disciples, they got to see that. You say, well, they got this. They were in a storm. I know they were in a storm, and that was scary. I guess it was scary. But in that storm, they saw something of Jesus they had never seen before. And they'll never forget that. Jesus is the one who can stop storms. No wonder they could go so boldly, you know, later on after Pentecost and spread the gospel. And when you go through situations like this, you get a new view of your Savior. You know, I talk about this health issue I went through, and I saw something the Lord I'd never seen before, and how real He is and how sweet He is. And I said, you know what? My view of God has never been the same since then. Now, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to go through that door again. But I said the reality of who God is and His presence and His the miraculous power. I just saw that over and over again. You know, especially during COVID, they did some dumb things. Okay, they did a lot of dumb things. But one of the dumb things they did when somebody was really sick, they wouldn't let your family come, your spouse, you know, and so you're in the hospital room all by yourself, and I found myself in that boat, but I really wasn't all by myself. I really wasn't. And it was a sweet, sweet time. It really was. And so when storms come, what you need to remember, here are two or three things. One is God is sovereign. He knew this was coming. He's allowed this, but He's also present. He's sovereign, He's present, and I'm going to see something. I believe I'll see something of Him I've never seen before. He's going to reveal Himself to you. And so, He is sovereign. Well, I said that storms reveal as much about us as it does about God. So what did it reveal about the disciples? What did the storm reveal about them? What did it tell them about themselves? What do you think? If you don't volunteer, I'll call on you. what did it tell about the disciples? What did they lack? Faith. Yeah. They lacked faith. Yeah, trusting. And so the storm of life is like a school for us. And, you know, we can learn a couple things. One, we can learn something about ourselves. Do I really trust God? Do I really love Him? Or is my trust and my love dependent upon what He's doing for me? You know, it's easy to praise God and be on the mountaintop, you know, when the bank account's full, I'm healthy, my car's running, and on the thing goes. But when some of the storms come, do I really love Him? Do I really love Him? And so it shows me sometimes my weakness and my lack of faith. And the disciples are seeing Jesus do incredible miracles. Incredible miracles. Things that only God could do. But they weren't connecting the dots yet. And here they're falling apart in this storm. And the thought didn't occur to them that Jesus is in the boat and He can take care of any issue or any problem. They knew He could heal the sick, but they didn't trust Him in this storm. By the way, that's why we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. It's a good thing sometimes to remind you what God did. And you know, the God of David, we mentioned some biblical characters a while ago, Paul, the God of Paul, of David, of Joseph, is the same God today. He's your God too. You say, well, He had a special agreement, a special work. No, it's not true. He's just as real in your life as He was in their life. And He will be just as real in your storm as it was in theirs. He's the same God today. I think we think that the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, that was then and this is now. He's the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. And so they were faithless. And so not only did they not trust Him, They doubted his love. They really doubted his love. And so that's one thing they saw. And then they would see also that Christ is sufficient, the sufficiency of Christ. So Jesus rebukes them. He says two things to them. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? Cowardly fear there. They were acting like cowards when they should have responded in faith. And they were fearful because of their focus. The lack of, the wrong focus produces fear. The focus was on the storm when Jesus was right there in that. It doesn't mean you're oblivious or you act like nothing's happened. That's not the point. You know there's a storm going on. You know this is going on, but you also know that your God's present. You know the Savior's present, and that He's there for He has you there for a reason, and you're moving forward with that. He's their refuge and strength. He's a ever-present help in trouble. He's our comforter, so we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't fear. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful?" I think during COVID, one of the things that disappointed me the most about some of the people of God was they were consumed with fear, just so fearful. I mean, almost to the point of the ridiculous. I thought, wow, this is crazy. You see people, this guy in our church, he'd be riding around in his car with a mask on. There's nobody in there but himself. I thought, is he afraid he's going to contaminate himself? I don't know what's going on. This is crazy. I'd go over and see him and say, "Now, Pastor, I have to come outside and because I don't want to get contaminated." So, okay, whatever floats your boat, come on out. And he'd all be all masked up. He said, "Would you wear one too?" I said, "Hey, listen, if that'll make you happy, I'll wear one." But oh, my goodness, fear. That was a fearful time for some. We don't need to live in fear. Now, you need to use your brain and use common sense, but we don't need to live in fear. And we don't need to let the circumstances control us. So he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He didn't say, "How is it that you have little faith?" You know what he said? He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Wow, what an indictment. He said, you had no means zero. You had zero faith. That was pretty straight with them. That's a terrible thing for the Lord to say that. You had no faith. Well, of course they're fearful because they had zero faith. I mean, if you have faith, you don't have fear. If you have fear, you don't have faith. They're mutually exclusive. Whenever fear grips me, and it can, I just need to understand. I need to remember the Lord is present, and I'm going to trust Him. Fear, will just overwhelm you. Faith, another word for faith is trust, okay? It's a synonym for it. And if I'm not trusting Him, I'm going to be fearful. I think God wants us to trust Him in all situations. So whatever your storm, you have two options that is before you. One, you can worry and assume that the Lord doesn't care. That's the wrong option to choose. Or you can resist fear and put your trust in the Lord. You can do one of those two. So you need to trust Him, and I need to trust Him. Now look at verse 41. They see His sufficiency. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" So the response of the disciples is a different kind of fear. It's not the cowardly fear they had. It's more of one of awe. And so they're moving in the right direction. They're now in awe of Him and His power and who He is. And He can be trusted. And now the emphasis is on Him. And they said, "Look at Him, what manner of man He is." And so they turn from the storm to Jesus, which is a good shift in emphasis. And that's what we need to do. So by way of wrapping up here, having Jesus in the boat like they did doesn't mean that we'll never encounter storms. Doesn't mean that. I mean, Jesus was in the boat with them. And storms came up, and which, as I said already, that happens a lot on the Sea of Galilee. But the fact that Jesus, they may have thought, well, Jesus is in the boat, so why would a storm come? Why would a storm come if Jesus is in the boat? Well, He allowed that to come. we say, how could a storm come in my life? Because I'm walking with the Lord. I'm being faithful. I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer. I'm faithful to His church. I try to win souls. On and on we go. Why does this storm come? Because God has so ordered it, and He's with you in the boat. And so storms are part of the Christian life, and you can't elect not to go through the storm. It's part of the journey. There are no stormless seas. They're not. And this is a journey that God has for us. And the storms like the Sea of Galilee come up quickly. In fact, most of the storms in life do come quickly. In fact, we'll say something like this: well, I didn't see that coming. Where'd that come from? You ever said something like that? Boy, I didn't see that one. Well, the Lord did. He knew exactly when and what. I don't know about you, I find great comfort in that. I really do. And He's promised that He's not going to put on me more than I can bear with Him. He made that promise. I claim that one a lot. And so all of a sudden, you know, a storm comes. It may be a death of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be a betrayal. The life churns and like a storm or a hurricane comes up suddenly. And so we have to learn to trust in the Savior who doesn't always deliver us from the storms, but through the storm. He'll take you through the storm. He really will. And you know what? His presence and His promises is what makes the difference. And so that storm, really, the storm can become a sanctuary. It really can. It becomes a sanctuary because it becomes a place where you see your God in a place you never, in a way you never saw Him before. Sanctuary speaks of the presence of God, and He's present with you, but He's also present in the storm and in those circumstances. And your storm can be a sanctuary. One of my favorite pictures of Paul and Silas is when they were in the Philippian jail. Remember when they were having that pity party? All three, you know, they were just feeling sorry for themselves. No, that's not what you read in your Bible. They were praising God. They were singing at midnight, and they were in prison. Their prison became a place of praise, and your storm can become a sanctuary if you get your focus on Him. You know, this life's really short. You know, the college students, they think life's forever. You know, they're young and they've got all their life in front of them. But I said, you know, it just seems like I turned around and here I am. And it's like knocking on the, I thought, man, I'm getting old. Remember when you used to say all those old people? Well, now I is one. So, so life goes quickly. It really does. And so these present storms really, really pass quickly. As does His life. And Jesus is the only place we can find security and serenity. And so in Jesus, there's no need to fear. No need to fear. Well, let's pray together. Get ready for the service. Father, thank You for being always present. You promised to never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, You keep that promise. Pray now You prepare our hearts for worship, corporate worship. Pray for our pastor that, Lord, You'd fill him with Your Spirit, that he would be able to deliver Your Word in great power, and that You would accomplish in Your church that which You want for Your own glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.